So when did you set up shop?
Well, I opened this place after I came back from Vietnam.
Ooh, Vietnam, I hear it's lovely.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss and Nick here with you once again. Before we get into it, you know what we got to do? Take care of the housekeeping. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. Follow us on Twitter at EthanGSN, at NickSarars, at NYG Daily, at GothamSN. Once again, it is before Halloween and the New York Giants season is effectively over. Things are dire. They're bad. The offense can't even muster a touchdown. I'm speechless, man. I really am. For a guy who's normally very pessimistic about the state of this team, I figured they'd be average at best, mediocre, most likely outcome. 7 wins, maybe eke out 8. You know, everyone keeps their job. People show improvement. Next year, we're excited about getting a quarterback in here. I'm broken. I'm beaten. You know, I drove probably a combined 4+ hours yesterday to sit with Nick. Beautiful weather. Great tailgate. No, the highlight of the day was the Philly cheesesteak at the tailgate. That thing was sublime. Outside of that, miserable day, miserable franchise. I don't know how much longer I can do this shit. Weiss, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you pretty much nailed it. It's very dire. It's very hopeless. There's not really a lot of things you can turn to right now and say, well, at least, you know, we can watch that. At least we can enjoy that for the rest of the year. But you know, it was an embarrassing moment at MetLife Stadium on Sunday for a multitude of reasons. Obviously, you know, regardless what your feelings about Saquon Barkley is, obviously we're all in agreement that the Giants did the right, made the right move by letting him walk. The fact that he walks back into MetLife Stadium and essentially kind of drops his nuts on the Giants' face, you know, wasn't a good look for everyone involved. It's getting to a point, guys, where it's past sort of like the, you know, Daniel Jones stinks, you know, we'll get another quarterback. They cannot play this guy anymore. And they can't play him because they're not functioning as a football team. Like, they're worse than a bad football team right now. They're not able to. This doesn't look like an NFL team. Nick, you sent a text, not an NFL office. It's not an NFL team right now. And the fact that they're going to continue to trot Daniel Jones out there, it pisses me off because we can't keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. The one thing that gets me the most is, and I'm sorry, because usually I'm a little bit more organized in how I want to attack this, but just it's gotten to a point where it's like, he's unplayable. It's not working anymore. And the more he plays, the more detrimental it is to the Giants. Because I think the Giants have good players on offense. I think they have good players on this team. And I think he has essentially made this team not be able to function. And I know the Andrew Thomas injury, he goes out and they give up 7 sacks and the Josh Azu thing. And we'll talk about the offensive line because I do have some information to share that I got before we got on this podcast. But you know, you just can't keep telling me, well, they got to play Daniel Jones because they have no one else. That's just first of all, I don't agree with that statement. That's just not true. They're averaging 1.3 touchdowns per game. The only team that's worse is the Miami Dolphins. And they played Skylar Thompson and Tyler Huntley the last 4 weeks. So, like, all those teams with bad quarterbacks are still able to function as an offense. The Giants are not.
Well, I wouldn't even go that far. They're still, I mean, the Dolphins offense is not functional, but it is still more functional than the New York Giants.
Well,
based on the numbers. Thing is
there's a lot of bad quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Of course, these teams score. And listen, I'm going to take over because I need to I've been holding this in all day and I can't do it anymore. The decision to run Daniel Jones back out there with his 1-14 primetime record, the fact that he hasn't thrown a touchdown since before he signed the contract extension after you benched him for the inability to score one singular touchdown at home against a division rival, right? You bench him and you're going to put him back in the next week. It makes no sense to me. It really doesn't. I don't know who's calling the shots here between Shane, Dable. I don't think that it's Mara or Tish, but I'm sure I could be convinced if that is the case. But to me, the most frustrating part of this is obviously I had these expectations coming into the season that the team was not going to be atrocious, that they were going to be at least passable. I mean, they won 6 games last year with Tommy DeVito and Tyrod Taylor. There is no way that it could be worse. All right. So there's that. To roll this guy back out here again, I'm going to say this 15 times. The week after you benched him mid game because you needed a quote unquote spark is so insane to me. There are no words to describe it. Okay. Daniel Jones is not going to help you win. We've established that. He is not a good quarterback. He cannot function, especially now without Andrew Thomas. I think that there's levels to this. He's not going to help you win the game. The offensive line's banged up. And this is a guy who takes a lot of contact, both intentionally and unintentionally. You are basically walking yourself into this unfortunate scenario where you might have to stare that injury guarantee right in the face. Okay. That's fucking dumb. You're 2-5. You can't score a touchdown. Like, let's just have a moment of realization here, guys. Like, this team's not going anywhere with Daniel Jones. Okay. And then here comes what Weiss, you ended on, and I'll also end on. I simply refuse to believe that this team does not have any guys. I refuse to believe that this running back by committee cannot be middle of the road. I refuse to believe that an offense with Malik Nabers can't score a touchdown. And when you roll Daniel Jones out there, who is like, what, fucking 15% on throws 20 plus downfield since last season, he can't throw downfield. He is making the offensive line worse because he himself is creating sacks. So he's a detriment to an offensive line with a young center, with a young now left tackle. There's probably going to be a couple more young guys. If Evan Neal starts getting snaps, he's going to be a detriment to the, he's good. Okay. I'm assuming that's the scoop that you have, you know, coming at some point, but regardless, Izudu and JMS, he is a detriment to their development at this point. Malik Nabers, he is a detriment to Malik Nabers' development, to Tyrone Tracy's development. I almost said Tyrone Taylor. I'm still in Mets mode from last night. He is a detriment to Jalin Hyatt, especially his development. And I've put a lot of blame on Jalin Hyatt, but like, you can't even execute the one thing that guy does well. You are a detriment to the defense. You got second year players making business decisions in the second half because they're so frustrated and they can't play. And I'm not justifying that, but that's just the fact of the matter. If this was a competitive game and a competitive offense, Deonte Banks is not making business decisions. He's just not. And he got a talking to, as he should have. But it is a detriment to the camaraderie in the locker room. There is quite literally zero benefit to playing Daniel Jones for the rest of the season. He is not going to help you develop any of your young players. As a matter of fact, it will have the opposite effect. And I know Drew Lock fucking stinks, but so did Tyrod Taylor before he got the start. So did Tommy DeVito before he got some playing time. And you know what? Tommy DeVito stunk and they still managed to win some games. So give this guy some time. Give him at least a game or two to gel with the personnel that they have. But you cannot roll this guy out there. And I said it on Twitter. I'm going to say it on this podcast. Daniel Jones is leaving Monday night in an aircast or in an ambulance. They can't protect him, and they're playing the Steelers, and it comes the very next week after when the decision should be obvious. And given the Giants' luck, this is karma coming to get him. I've never seen a situation more obvious, and it wouldn't shock me if it happens.
No, yeah. I want to build off of two things in there real quick. So number one, the business decisions, it's the same exact thing you saw in New England. As bad as their situation is, you can't justify guys going out there to break their necks and bust their ass for an ass quarterback. And maybe Drake May ends up getting his development screwed up, whatever, by playing on a bad team. But at least they're trying.
He's looked pretty good.
They are trying to justify that even if we're only going to win 3 or 4 games this year in New England, it's not a total loss. And for the Giants, it's hard. And it's not to justify guys making business decisions, pulling up on tackles, that type of thing, but
it's not a justification. It is just a fact. Things are going to happen.
Why am I going to go out there and bust my ass if we can't score 7 fucking points on offense? I mean, it's really not that. I mean, it takes a lot. I mean, Okereke got his streak broken of snaps played yesterday because they pulled him from the game. I mean, it's hard to justify as a defensive player going out there. And I mean, the defense was decent yesterday until they were on the field over and over and over again. The Giants got to the red zone once all game.
The Eagles cannot pass.
No,
they have no passing offense.
No, the Eagles were not good yesterday. The Giants just got gouged on 2 big plays, made it 14-0. And the Giants weren't coming back from 14-0. The Giants weren't coming back from 7-0, in all honesty. I mean, if you get that Theo Johnson touchdown before the end of the half, you go into the half 14-7, maybe you feel a little bit different about it. And the other thing I wanted to say, I mean, when they are so ineffective that they can't even get to the red zone, I'm not even saying points. You got to the red zone once all game against a bad defense. The Eagles defense has been actively bad this year and hurt them in close games. And they're letting Nolan Smith tee off on them. They're letting Sam Huff tee off on them. And the Eagles are not that good. And that's the only reason the score wasn't 50-0 yesterday, because the Eagles aren't that good.
Yeah. See, it's not just like the fact that I keep going back to this. There's bad quarterback play, and then there's a guy that doesn't belong on the field. Like,
oh, he's in that tier. He's playing as bad as Watson, as Gardner Minshew.
That's the thing. Like, if you look around the NFL, Cleveland with Deshaun Watson is averaging more points than the Giants. They've scored more offensive points this season than the Giants. Tennessee, Will Levis is a walking meme. Every week there's a moment that goes viral because he just makes himself look stupid. And then they played Mason Rudolph a little bit. They're averaging more points. The Raiders with Minshew and with Aiden O'Connell playing, they're averaging more points. So like, teams wake up, you know, and they score 17 points. I'm not even going to go to Indianapolis, but they're way ahead of the Giants in terms of points. You're not able to score. You're not functioning. You have to try something differently. Here's a insane thing, right? When teams typically bench their starting quarterback, they're not exactly upgrading. You're usually going to a quarterback that's worse than your starter, but you
that's have typically to how numbers you. Work. QB1 to 2, QB2. Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So but when people say, well, Daniel Jones gives them the best, what chance do they have? They have no chance. They're the second worst offense in the NFL. And the only reason they're not worse is because the team that's behind them lost their starting quarterback due to a concussion, or else they'd be dead last. The last 3 weeks, they're scoring 1 touchdown a game. They've scored 1 touchdown the last 2 weeks. They've scored 10 points the last 2 games. Their 1 touchdown drive was a 16-play drive where they had to go for it on 4th down multiple times. Plus, they got a penalty to extend the drive. It's just not working. It's not functioning. It's not even about bad or who's better, who's that. What you're doing right now is not working. This guy cannot read a field. He can't make throws. He's throwing behind wide open receivers. Malik Davis is pointing to the open receiver, and he's double covered. And now you're going to go to Pittsburgh and you're going to trot this guy out there, and you're going to tell me he gives you the best chance to win. I'm not stupid. I'm not smart, but I don't think I'm stupid. I've watched enough football. This is not functioning right now. And you continue to play Daniel Jones. I'm sorry, it's no longer about Jones. Jones is done here, right? It's over, right? It's been over. You filmed the TV show for HBO where you essentially tried to replace him during the entire show. People talk about the Barkley thing. They spent 3 episodes talking about how they were trying to go get a quarterback and they were scouting quarterbacks. Some of the best clips from the show were them talking about drafting a quarterback. The head coach admitting he would go trade up for a specific quarterback. It's over. We can try to do optics and we try to control the narrative. Not that narrative, Ethan, but you can try to control this thing. But it's over. I don't understand why we're still having this conversation. It's not functioning. We know what happened in the offseason. So what are we doing here? I don't know what we're doing here. The schedule aligns perfectly, and I'll go to you, Nick, after this, and I told you guys this. You bench him to this week. You go with Drew Lock. You deactivate Daniel Jones for the remainder of the season, and you essentially make him your emergency quarterback or your whatever the fuck, or you tell him to go work on getting his stockbroker license or whatever. My point is that you don't play him anymore. He's in street clothes on Sundays. He's running scout team during the week, whatever. You make Drew Lock the starting quarterback. You play Drew Lock on Monday night against Pittsburgh. It's probably not going to look good. He's probably not going to win you the game, but you turn the page on Daniel Jones. And then over the course of the next couple of weeks, if Drew Lock plays well, they play the Commanders following the Monday night game against Pittsburgh. Then they go to Germany. If he looks good, fine. You can continue playing him. If not, after the bye, and he plays like how we think Drew Lock typically plays, after the bye, you go to Tommy DeVito. He's your developmental quarterback, and I'm using air quotes for that. Their words, not mine. And then you see what Tommy DeVito can do for the remainder of the year. And that's it. And then in the offseason, we'll talk about who should stay, who should go, what they should do, the draft, blah, blah, blah. But for the remainder of the year, for them to continue to play Daniel Jones and continue this lie that Daniel Jones gives them the best chance to win when they're scoring one touchdown a game, I'm sorry. To me, I can no longer be mad at Daniel Jones anymore when he can't muster together a touchdown drive. It's on the coaching staff to continue to trot this guy out there. So that's where I am. I thought a change was coming. A part of me thought today that they were going to go back and look at it and say, you know, we can't do this. But the fact that they're doing this again and on prime time and we have to sit there and we have to watch, I can't take it anymore, man. I'm so incredibly frustrated by this. And it's to me, it's just like, I feel like I'm getting like you're pissing on me, but you're trying to tell me it's raining. It's like, I'm not dumb, man. Like, just end this already. I'm so tired of this shit.
This is your Mona Lisa, I think. I mean, we might be clipping this rant.
Because
this is great.
Because here's the thing, right? Because we're watching Saquon yesterday, and everyone's like, oh, Saquon, look at him run, had those big runs, and he's running.
They tackled him from behind like three separate times. He can't move for his life.
Oh, my God, yeah, he's slow.
That's not the point. Like, it's incredibly frustrating, guys. And look, I like Brian Daboll a lot. And, you know, I'm not somebody that does this week-to-week thing where every week it's either – Brian Daboll is the greatest thing ever, and then the next week it's like you want him fired. And I'm not going to sit here and start talking about cleaning house. I'm just saying, like, it is, and I feel like any other team would have pulled the plug already. And the fact that they haven't, after everything they did in the offseason, the Brown situation is different, right? Because the contract and okay, sure,
the owner's involvement too.
Yeah, I get that. Right, exactly. That's a little bit of a different situation. But you know what the Browns didn't do? They didn't film a documentary essentially spending the entire offseason trying to move off this guy. And the fact that they did all that, and then obviously you guys know how I feel about the way they handled the quarterback situation outside of the draft. The fact that now, after 6 weeks, and how just it doesn't look functional, and we're still doing this, and we're now going into a primetime game against the Steelers, and Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback again. I don't know, man.
The comparison I would give you is, I don't know if you're familiar with the show King of the Hill, but when Bobby gets caught smoking cigarettes and Hank sits him down and makes him smoke the entire carton, that's what the Giants are doing right now with Daniel Jones.
Literally what they're doing, yes.
They are making him eat shit every single week. And we are getting, I don't want to question the motivations of continuing to run him out there. I don't want to say they're trying to ruin him, get him hurt, ruin his career, whatever. But like, there's nothing else we're getting from this.
It reeks of proving a point.
Yes, it really does.
Exactly.
And I don't think it is because, again, like, I think that Daboll and Shane have been in lockstep almost the entire time. But like, I literally cannot think of anything else other than Daboll trying to make Shane eat shit for the situation that he's in. Like, tell me there's a better reason. I haven't figured it out yet.
Here's my thing is, I think Brian Daboll has so much control over the quarterback room that I agree.
And listen, if it's ownership or management that's just like, listen, we paid this guy all this money, he has to start. It's fucking sunk cost fallacy, guys.
What I was thinking about this morning, right, when I woke up, was that what was the New England Patriots asking price? Like, what price tag did they put on it?
No, we're not doing this. It was astronomical.
I want to know what's the astronomical price.
I mean, Joe Shane was like, oh, it would take like 3 firsts and 2 seconds. And they were just like, yeah, probably something like that. Well, if the New England Patriots were actually serious about moving off that pick, they would have given him a price. The fact that they did not shows that that just I don't even who's that Wolf?
Okay, fine.
Elliot Wolf is
fine.
Their GM.
Fine.
Okay, then he is basically just the anti-Gettleman because he didn't just not pick up the phone. He at least picked up the phone and he listened, even though he was never going to move the pick. You know that firsthand.
Yeah,
they were never moving the pick.
It was a complicated situation.
Okay, they were never moving the pick. We're not revisiting that.
Yes,
Evan Neal, go ahead.
The Giants are done with Evan Neal.
Done.
They will now go out of their way to make sure Evan Neal doesn't see the field.
Extrapolate on that.
It goes back to the offseason and the rehab and the injury, and they didn't really like how he came into camp. Didn't like the way he rehabbed during camp when he was on PUP. Then when they took him off PUP, when he got healthy, they didn't feel like he was all in. That's the right term to use. But then at the same time, they weren't really questioning his work ethic. Throughout the season, their goal was he was essentially going to be the backup right tackle to Jermaine Illuminor. They had no intention of trying him at any other spot because they couldn't trust him, because they couldn't even trust him to be the right tackle where he was essentially drafted to be. So they weren't going to try him at guard, especially the fact that they didn't have a full offseason with him. He was rehabbing a lot.
So why is he even active?
I think that could potentially change. You saw them sign a tackle. I also think optics is big with this organization, as you guys know.
Sure.
I don't think they want to create headlines by making somebody that a top 10 pick inactive during game days. I'm not going to say they're. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not moved by the deadline, but because of their luck with injuries in the O-line, it's kind of like, we're not going to play Evan Neal unless there's no other option, meaning he's the sixth healthiest lineman and everyone else gets, he has to go in. That's essentially where this is.
So we're doing some calls again? Like, there's nothing, at least with Evan Neal, you might be able to sell me on maybe they could make him a guard, maybe he can play,
That's the big thing. That's the big thing about moving him to guard.
Just go send him to the Eagles practice squad for a month. He'll come back in an all-pro tackle.
Move him to left side, but the problem is right now, they can't even trust him to prepare to be the team's right tackle if he needs to be. Sticking him in at guard and telling him, hey, we're going to try you out at guard if we have to. That's not, like I said, they can't even trust him to be their right tackle. You know, they didn't play him yesterday, even when they threw in the white flag. They didn't even bother playing him, even though they played everyone else but him. They signed Chris Hubbard off the 49er practice squad. He's a veteran that's played a lot in the NFL. I think he's played both on the left and the right, but wouldn't be surprised if he's not, doesn't essentially jump Evan Neal on the tackle depth chart and is potentially playing left tackle. But right now, Evan Neal and the Giants don't seem to be on the same page. And his future
with the team
is very, very cloudy.
Well, that's great. So not only are we not missing Kayvon because Aziz has 4 sacks in 2 games.
Well, we are missing Kayvon because against the run, Aziz was just,
Who cares?
Well, when he ran outside, Saquon ran outside the tackles like 3 times. They went right at Aziz Ojulari.
So. Whatever.
Look, I am with you with Kayvon. I want more, but I think
the worst part about this season is that Dex should absolutely win Defensive Player of the Year, and he's not going to because the Giants are going to be so fucking ass.
Is the fact that they keep trying out this quarterback.
Let me be hyperbolic.
Yes.
Okay, I'm talking about things to look forward to. I'm not looking forward to Drew Lock. I would look forward to celebrating Dexter Lawrence.
It's not about looking forward to Drew. Yeah, I got you. But to me, it's just looking forward to them at just finally publicly acknowledging. You know,
It's like going from shit to still sort of shit.
But can I ask you guys a question?
Do you want poop or do you want shit?
How much different do you think this is if Russell Wilson's the quarterback right now?
The Giants are at least 500. Are we going under the assumption that he still hurts his calf?
Yeah, we'll say yeah.
Then we're in the exact same spot because he doesn't. I mean, I think they win yesterday with Russ.
That's been our gripe for 2 straight years now that they have failed to bring in a legitimate backup to really.
Not even a backup. It was Russell Wilson. You straight up will not compete.
That's the thing. The same thing with Tyrod last year. It should have been a competition because Jones, that's just what healthy football teams do. If you don't have an entrenched, convincing starter, you need to make it competitive.
Well, not last year because they had paid Jones. And that was
the first.
2 years ago is what you mean.
Yeah, 2 years ago and then this year, Because it's what good teams do. You need that competition because you put training wheels on him. And you make this offense non-functional because all he can do is 4 and 5 yard underneath routes. I mean, that incompletion to Slayton is one of the most egregious plays I have ever seen a quarterback make. He has 5 feet of space in every direction. And instead of planting his feet and resteadying himself, he has his body facing the play as opposed to being sideways so he can actually get some power on the throw. He throws the ball 5 yards behind Slayton. Slayton has to stop what he's doing, come back against the ball, still almost make the catch. And I said to Ethan, you know, if he hits him in stride, he's still running because there's nobody within 10 feet of him. And
are you talking about the one that Malik points to him?
Pointed at him.
Yeah. It's just I do not understand. And I said this to Ethan and Will when we were in the parking lot before the game. What happened to the Daniel Jones that played with reckless abandon, throwing the ball in the tight windows and double coverage and trying to be aggressive? Because he plays quarterback scared now. Like, he wasn't great 3, 4, 5 years ago, but at least he was taking chances. Now, they run an offense with no teeth, and defenses don't respect them in the slightest and say, okay, throw the ball 25 times to gain 70 yards. Do it. Go ahead. We'll let you do that. And they can't move the ball at all. There's no explosiveness. There's no reason for them to have the ball on offense. They would be better off punting on first down.
Yeah, I mean, even on their one scoring drive where they went 39 yards, it took them 10th place.
And there was a penalty in there that it took to get there, too. They took that one free play to get there. I mean, it took them that much work to get one good drive together, and it was no huddle. The one time the Eagles weren't able to really get their pass rush going. And even then, the decision-making is bad. Why are they taking 4 yards on first down with no timeouts? Throw that away and reset. And I get, what are they? The clock management driving me up the wall, the play calling driving me up the wall. And look, I understand they don't trust Jones at all, so they don't want him to take chances at all. But what are we doing here? Are we trying to win these games or not?
They didn't try to run the ball at all.
Yeah, that's my biggest gripe.
See, that's my thing with Daboll, right? Is at this point, right, outside of the quarterback thing is...
Again, this is why, before you go, this goes back to the point that we were just making about why it feels like he's trying to like make someone eat shit for the situation that he's in. Bro, run the football.
Yes.
Yeah. They didn't start running it until they were down 3 touchdowns. They didn't have possession where they had multiple rush attempts until the third quarter, if I remember correctly, if I was looking through the game log right. I mean, they couldn't get the running game going, and they were down 14 points. And you're setting Jones out there to get killed in obvious passing situations against a defense that hasn't been very good, but has a lot of talent. It is a perfect storm to go out there and get sacked, you know, 7, 8 times like they did yesterday.
Veteran defensive coordinators who have been in the NFL for a long time, like Vic Fangio and Lou Anarumo last week, they're going to know how to scheme this. They're going to know how to play Daniel Jones, and it's fairly easy. Now, some coordinators that are newer and less experienced, especially with play calling, they'll sort of just look at it and they'll continue to do what they do, kind of like what happened in Seattle. But the veteran guys and even Jim Schwartz in the second half of that Cleveland game, they're gonna make the adjustment. They're gonna know beforehand, and they're gonna do what they did. Look, man, I think with Daboll is there's two things, because his play calling, it doesn't make sense. Clock management doesn't make sense. Number one, like Ethan says, he's trying, or no, number one, he's just bad, you know, and maybe he's just not good, right? And that could be one reason. The second reason, he's trying to prove a point. Now, some of the stuff Daboll said yesterday and today, where he basically said we have to score more points, and he basically said that Malik Nabers was right when he was saying he was open a lot. To me, that's not defending Malik Nabers. To me, that's defending his play call. A lot of people looking at it saying that's Daboll sticking up for his...
Well, it's pointing the finger.
Yeah. Well, then he's saying, don't point the finger at me, because the guy's open.
Yeah. So, I did my job. Daniel Jones didn't do his.
So it feels
who are
like
you? I'm the guy Daboll's who does his trying, job.
You must be the other fucking guy.
Daboll's trying to prove a point, but to me, this goes back to why
Nick, that was great. That's chemistry, baby. That's what happens when we sit together at Giants games. I hope the listeners appreciate that.
Is that better chemistry than Daniel Jones and Darius Slayton?
It is.
I have better chemistry with Darius Slayton, and I've never met Darius Slayton.
The one Slayton play where the one, how are you a professional offensive lineman and you get a legal man downfield on an RPO like it's Madden?
I hate that rule. I think the
most embarrassing part of yesterday, that what really went under the radar, was Brandon Graham was lined up on
Neighbors at one point.
Neighbors, yeah.
That's how little respect they had for Jones to be able to get him the ball. They're an utter farce.
They're averaging 0.3 touchdowns per game at home this year.
I mean, obviously I'm an idiot, so like I'm gonna watch next week. But like, if they were the Sunday game, I don't know if I would.
No. Oh, I turned them off.
They were Sunday at 1 p.m. I got to try to salvage my fucking fantasy season. I don't have time for the Giants right now.
No, it's
Nick watched me get shit pumped in real time yesterday. It was a disaster.
Yeah, fantasy team.
You guys were at the game. Can we talk about Saquon coming back to?
Oh, I don't give a shit. This is nonsense.
I booed the shit out of him when he came out.
But a certain media outlet was pushing hard this weekend, and the Yankees going to the World Series, I think, also deterred a lot of the writing that was coming for Saquon Barkley. But this notion that the Giants did Saquon,
they lose 28-3 with Saquon anyway.
Not about that. No, it's just the fact that Saquon went to the Eagles, right? And Philadelphia has probably booed him louder than the Giants have at certain points this season with the Eagles. I don't understand why the media is acting like Giant fans booing the Philadelphia Eagles and a player that used to play for them that now plays for the Eagles is like a war crime.
Listen, Nick has tweeted this many a time, but sports media is cooked. It's like
no one's it's lazy.
The New York media market. I don't want to say all of it, but 80%.
It's soft.
It's overrated.
More
and it's bad. And it's
Kevin Garnett on the Nets.
Even the radio, I don't listen to it as much.
I never listen to it anymore, bro. It's WWE. It's literally the New York media is WWE.
They've got spots. They pull people. It's all disingenuous garbage.
I will say though, I do like. I think that Brian Daboll has a very funny relationship with this group of Giants beat writers because. Because for many reasons, but I find it very funny that, like, and again, maybe it's just because like we've had like a very steady group, like Jordan and Dan and Pat to an extent, but it's like you're listening to these pressers and like, oh, like that was Duggan asking that question, and Brian Daboll just like glares at him. He's just like, basically, like the reply is he's saying this, but he's not actually saying it. It's just like, yeah, Daniel Jones is gonna be a fucking starter next week. Like, what the fuck do you want me to say, dude? Like, that's just like the kind of tone that he takes with these guys. It's just like, I don't know. I think he's got a very funny relationship with these guys.
I think he's at his wit's end.
He gets the same questions every week.
I think he knows he's screwed. It's just a matter of how he can, I don't want to say sell this, but that's kind of where we're at. You know, the Giants still got to play another 3 months of football. Give me a lot of image maintenance.
There's 10 fucking games left. 10 weeks. 9 games with 10 weeks of this shit left. That's why I think people that are going about like fire them, like, motherfucker, we got 10 games left.
Nothing to be accomplished by firing Daboll in the season. You know,
we're not firing anyone yet. We're not firing anyone. I'm not going to call for anyone to be fired. I'm going to be pissed off. I'm going to be frustrated. At the end of the day, this regime made a really terrible mistake with the Daniel Jones contract and the overall philosophy of running it back. They had a really good offseason this past year. And if Dave Gettleman got 4 years, then Joe Shane deserves at least that. And it also, I don't know, I just feel like I see some really dumb people on Giants Twitter calling for them to be like absolutely finished like right now. And so I know that being on the opposite end of that is probably going to yield better results.
Yeah, I think right now with Brian, Joe Shane's not getting fired.
No.
Even if they don't, for people that are calling for Shane's head, I want you guys to understand. Let's stick to Barkley real quick. If John Mara wanted to keep Saquon Barkley, right, I know people keep going back to that Hard Knocks clip, right? Saquon Barkley would still have been a Giant. Okay? This wasn't a, all right, you make the decision and you'll be, no. If John, and understand when I tell you this, if John Mara said Saquon Barkley is going to be re-signed and he's going to stay a Giant, that would have happened. Clearly, John Mara was on board with them letting Saquon Barkley walk. On the flip side, with Daniel Jones, John Mara wanted Daniel Jones extended. The front office also wanted Daniel Jones extended. They were in lockstep, just like they were lockstep with the Saquon thing. It's the same thing. It's the same.
They were not. They were very obviously not in lockstep with the Saquon thing. John Mara was basic. No, dude. John Mara was basically in tears. I give him credit and kudos for letting Joe Shane do what he felt was best because he's the fucking general manager. But John Mara very obviously wanted Saquon back.
He very much was okay with letting Saquon Barkley leave.
He was not okay with it. He was very upset by it and willing to let Joe Shane do
his
thing.
He was upset that he went to the Philadelphia Eagles.
And he was upset before he knew that.
I'm just telling you, if John Mara wanted Saquon Barkley back, Saquon Barkley would be a New York.
We agree. We're arguing over bullshit, right?
I'm just saying. I'm just this whole
thing. This is what they want, bro. They want us to argue with each other. They don't want solidarity.
Sowing division in the podcast world.
What I'm saying is, ownership, front office has been in lockstep with almost every decision that's been made, especially the major ones. Now you want to say that's a detriment to Joe Shane because nothing has been forced on him? Fine. And some of the quarterback decision making has been very bad. Sure, then that's fine. But ownership and the front office are aligned. Every major decision that's been made.
You know what would be crazy? I've just seen a lot of people talking about this. Is Stafford to the Giants.
A lot of people talking about that at the game yesterday, Ethan.
Dude, there were, yeah. A couple people were like, have you heard about this? And I'm just
my
like,
dad yesterday,
your dad's seen it on TikTok. That's crazy.
I don't know what's crazier,
that it made it to your dad and your dad is on TikTok.
He's on TikTok. He's on Facebook. He's on everything.
Yeah. All right. That's an interesting narrative that someone started.
Yeah. Kind of had a big week there, Ethan. A lot of
huge week.
Running with your whole thing. But let's talk about that narrative for a second, okay?
Go ahead. Let's go.
Matthew Stafford thing. It makes sense, right?
It does. It
makes sense, but.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to make another really niche reference. It's like, so, you know, Nick would know this. Weiss, you might not. I don't know. When Pete Davidson is doing his whole Staten Island thing on SNL Weekend Update, where he's just like, you know, like, oh, if Staten Island got hit by a hurricane and fell into the sea, that was a joke, but like a serious joke. Yeah. Like, oh, that, like, that's like, yeah, I was joking about it on Twitter like all week. But like, I'm serious. Like, it's a serious joke. I think it's very legitimate. I mean, he was on the trade block last year, allegedly.
He was. I remember reading stuff about that. But my thing is I feel like I don't want to talk about the offseason right now, but it just feels like if they're going to get a reset, the reset's going to come with them drafting a quarterback.
So here's the thing, and I agree with you. It's basically like, do they finish with a top three pick? If they finish with a top three pick, they'll probably just fucking draft one of these guys that I don't like, and whatever.
You don't like Cam Ward yet?
I don't like him, period. I like him even less than I did weeks ago.
He's had some highs and moments.
People, I'm going to start calling him Cam Haskins, but... Here's the thing. Like, obviously, if Shane and Dable fall in love with a quarterback and they draft a quarterback because they're going to have a high pick and there's a lot of guys that fit into that top 10 potentially, they're obviously here for at least two more years. Probably closer to three, assuming that the quarterback is not a complete and utter disaster.
I don't know about three. I'd give you maybe two. The head coach, not the GM.
But again, it's like if you go the Stafford route, and it ends like it's ending for the Jets right now, I don't know how much leash these guys have. That feels like a, if you do this, it better work. So that's it.
I think Stafford will be great with the Giants.
Dude, I agree. I think very obviously.
Maybe if Russell Wilson at the end of the year has a solid year and he wants to take another trip to New York, how about this time we actually, you know, not tell him that he doesn't have a chance to start?
How about we just give him the job?
Seeing,
like, you know how disrespected he must have felt that Sierra is spending her winter in Pittsburgh?
By the way, one thing about Russ is he was okay if the Giants had drafted a quarterback.
Of course, because he would have gotten the full year.
He just didn't want to play behind Daniel Jones.
Yeah, because Daniel Jones is shit. So, all right. Well, I don't think either of us asked for questions.
Can we talk about the New York Yankees going back to the World Series for a second?
I'd rather not, but I'll give you 2 minutes.
Just hear me out for 2 minutes. Like, those 3 days in Cleveland was the best baseball I've ever watched. Even the game that they lost, right? But I got to give a shout out to Aaron Boone, because outside of the one mistake you made with Clay Holmes, Nick, wipe that smile off your face, Nick.
It's okay. Still Aaron Boone. He just has better players. That's the only difference between the Yankees this year and the last
way he, the way he managed that bullpen against a great Indians team with a bunch of, I think these guys are, they're young, but they are, like, they grew up fast in this postseason, especially that Detroit series. Aaron Boone managed the bullpen so well outside of that one mistake with Clay Holmes. Deserves so much credit. This Yankee team, look, I've sat through a lot of Yankee defeats, and I remember watching them like, this is not the same Yankees team that's been dominant. And, you know, I was thinking about this, Nick, because every time we talked about the Yankees, you would always say, they're always good. They're always,
they
won 20 World Series. But the Yankee fan, average fan, diehard fan, whatever, never lowered their standards. And that's something
you disgust me.
The Giants shouldn't do either. The standard.
The Giants don't have standards.
Exactly. They used to have standards, but not anymore.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
The standard is to get to the World Series. Okay.
But that's not how sports work anymore. Listen, the Yankees don't get to loot the A's every year for all their good players. You know, it's
all different. Of a sudden now everyone is talking about the payroll and the money and this and that.
Yes, because the Yankees spent more money this year, so the team was better.
By any means necessary, the objective is to get to the World Series. It's not about a farm system. It's not about, you know, what the analytics say. It's about the dollar.
Weiss, I hate to tell you,
the best.
Listen, between the skin tone and the beard, you just need a fucking Cuban link and you start saying, kiss the rings, pal. It's unfucking believable with this guy.
That's the way it is. And you know what's crazy? The Mets are taking that approach too these days. So you guys should be very happy about that. Remember what I told you guys when the Wilpon sold? I said, this is great for the Yankees because there's no way the Yankees are going to sit there and allow the Mets to outspend them.
And I said, let the Mets outspend them. The Mets met the GDP of a developing nation year-old Justin Verlander and 42-year-old Max Scherzer.
But the point is that they didn't allow the Mets to outspend them. The Mets had
the highest payroll in baseball this year.
This year was more of, hey, we're going to...
It's going to be even higher when Soto is a Met next year.
He's not going to be a Met. Are you kidding me? After that at bat, I have never seen
a
batter just bitch a pitcher the way Soto bitched Hunter Gaddis.
That's great. Every so he'll do it in orange and blue next year.
He's not going. You guys are just that.
Come to a team with personality and a fan base that actually cares, as opposed to the corporate Yankees.
I told you guys this.
Spend a gazillion dollars and Aaron Boone. I mean, by the way, they showed a replay of that Boone homer in the playoffs, and like it. I'm getting to that age, but it's prime. For like that meme about, oh, he did it against a fucking part-time plumber baseball player. Like, that pitch had to be 77 miles an hour. I mean, that was crazy.
Tim Wakefield was Mr. Knuckleballer. He threw the best.
I understand. I don't even think it was a knuckleball. It was just like it was like a 77 mile an hour lob. It was a joke.
Oh, and now we're disrespecting Tim Wakefield. Can you believe that? One of the best pitchers in the
league. You're a Yankee fan. You should be fine with that.
Tim Wakefield, hey, that knuckleball used to be a bitch to hit on. I remember some of those games against the Red Sox.
But whatever, it's just such a plumber pitch.
It's a great, and I'm disgusted by the Mets. Spent a week.
Buddy, you're disgusted now. You're disgusted now. Wait till I show up to next week's podcast in a fucking Dodgers jersey.
You guys, disgusting.
The Ohtani jersey's on the rack. It's coming over next week.
Yeah.
If the Yankees had lost and the Mets had won, I would have been the biggest Mets fan.
See, that's different.
Because I would want happiness for you guys.
No, you're a loser. You're not a real hater.
The Yankees and the Mets are not rivals. It's like a neighbor you don't get along with.
Correct. We've had this discussion 15 times.
Yeah, we're Dinkelberg.
Yeah, we hate you.
But I hate him. It's crazy, Nick. I got no nails. Game four.
It was good baseball.
I had bit my nails so hard that it started bleeding. I almost had to go to urgent care.
Start smoking cigarettes like a man. Come on,
yeah, seriously.
I do that. I inside the house, but it was a great 3 days. And I wish we had a Yankee fan on here so I could share this moment with them. I shared it with Nikki Snack. This was exactly what we've been asking for.
Man, two losers talking about baseball. Unbelievable.
So many times against the Astros, I remember just.
Are we going to dedicate zero podcast seconds to our New York Liberty? What are we even doing here? Maybe our best.
Talking about
best
super chain. Teams and big budgets. That's a super team right there. That's spending the cap.
Yeah, shout out to the New York Liberty. I didn't know that they were one of the original WNBA teams. I'm not a WNBA fan.
I didn't know that the WNBA finals were on. I didn't even know the New York Liberty were in them. I got the push notification last night during the Mets game that the New York Liberty were the WNBA champions. I'm like, oh, at least we got that.
Shout out the Libs, bro.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I've been following WNBA just to see like this whole Caitlin Clark culture war thing. It's been pretty funny.
It's hilarious because they don't talk about it like it's sports. They talk about it like it's the culture war. Like if you're ass at basketball. There's no greater cultural statement.
I absolutely loved it. Shout out to the New York Liberty. Sabrina Ionescu, right? Is that her name, Nick?
She was a big
Kobe Bryant fan. Right? And then she played like Kobe Bryant did in game 7 of the finals against the Celtics.
You are correct in that respect, but they did win.
She did all the dirty work, the rebounds, great defense.
Oh, there was not a lick of space in that game last night. It was defense and everybody hacking the shit out of each other.
I'm not at all surprised that Nick is watching WNBA games. After going home from the most miserable Giants game
I went to a concert last night after the Giant game. Watched the Liberty game and then went home.
You're a maniac.
Having fun is very fun.
Must be nice. All right. Fuck this.
Do you guys think the Yankees are going to beat the Dodgers? Can you guys?
No.
I think it's a coin flip.
Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Ice at NYG Daily. Follow Nick and Nick Zuarez. Follow the blog at GolfMSN. Subscribe. I wonder how much money Ohtani's got on the Dodgers.
Who cares? Ohtani hasn't had a good postseason.
It is absurd that he is not in jail or suspended.
Yeah. Don't worry. The Yankees are a team of destiny. The way they won those two games in Cleveland, they are a team of destiny.
My interpreter committed identity theft and stole millions of dollars from me. And a bookie took the action thinking that it was actually show. I mean, come on. How dumb do you have to be? I would say
I wish Ohtani should be suspended for that. And he should be playing in the World Series. But I want the Dodgers at full health. I don't want.
Yeah, I know. You don't want the Mickey Mouse World Series. That's what it's been for you up until this point.
It has not been.
Yeah. Oh my God. You're struggling against Cleveland. Yeah. Okay.
We beat them in 5 games. It wasn't a struggle. We took care of them. Yeah. They had their moments. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the Royals.
But it's not a Mickey Mouse World Series. Yeah.
It's not.
Oh, okay.
No, look, you beat the Dodgers. It's not Mickey Mouse. The Dodgers are a good team.
Even if they
I'm don't saying up guys, until this point,
it was not a Mickey Mouse run. Cleveland is good, man. You guys are look. They're
Weiss, I watch a lot of baseball. Cleveland's best pitcher is Tanner Bibee. Tanner Bibee would be like the they fourth. Got,
the, what happened to the four Mets. Horsemen? All the people that
Bieber tore his elbow. Quantrill's not in the league anymore. Tristan McKenzie's hurt.
No. I'm talking about the bullpen. The four horsemen in their bullpen.
Oh yeah, bullpen's
each one. The Yankees took turns.
You got to get there.
One by one, they were taking care of them.
You got to get there. Weiss.
Then Kate Smith. Then Hunter Gaddis. One by one, they took care of him in Cleveland.
The Yankees are a good team. I'm not disputing that. Soto and Judge are stamped. And Stanton's a great playoff player. So
all-time great player. Stanton, I think, will cement his legacy. He just needs that World Series.
He earned his pinstripes.
Oh, he's had those pinstripes. When everybody
was struggling against the Astros,
I did the outro. Just cut it. We're done. End the recording.
Yankees, baby.